Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome. We are here tonight for Embracing Your Essence on Lilydale Radio. As you are joining me, please do leave me a message or a comment so I know that you're here. I definitely want to know who's here. I'm getting a little organized right here. Don't mind me as I'm doing this. So thank you so much for joining me. I am Colleen Van De Zuyden. I'm a registered medium at Lilydale Assembly. I'm also a certified intuitive life coach. And every week I do a show here called Embracing Your Essence. It's all about you, who you are as a person, who you are at your soul level. And this week's topic is going to be muffling your inner critic. Whew, don't we have one of those? Almost everybody I know, if not everyone, has one of those. But before I get to that, I want to make sure we're all here and I can see people joining me. Thank you so much for joining me. Yes, it's been quite some time. So we are, as I said, Lilydale Radio. You can find out more about Lilydale by going to lilydaleassembly.org as well as on Facebook. Lilydale Assembly Incorporated is the official Lilydale page. And you can find out about some of the online workshops that will be happening over the winter. There's a whole bunch. Like every weekend, there's an online workshop going on. So you can find something to do. And so let me see who's joining me here. I haven't seen you guys in forever. Hi, Denise and Gail, Darlene, Cindy, Kayla. Yes, I haven't seen you guys in so long. It's been 3 weeks. I went to Utah to teach a forgiveness workshop with Greg Unterberger. We do it once a year in November near the Zion Canyon National Park. Amazing situation there. The scenery is just beautiful. It's a perfect place to have transformation and let go of those things that we need to let go of so we can move into forgiveness. So that happens every year in November, and we just came back from that a little bit ago. And then I have been in Texas doing some things down here and finishing up my book, for real. There are so many things to do with publishing. So the name of my book is called Courageously You, Magical Mind Games to Get Unstuck and Reignite Your Joy. So it's all about how to get rid of some of those negativity things that happen around you, the negative judgmental people, how to disassociate from their issues, and so you can be strong in your power and be happier. So that's my book. With any luck, it will be out in about 3 weeks. Believe me, I will let you know. You'll probably hear me screaming when it's finally done, no matter where you are. And also, I did want to let you know that the Courageously You group coaching program will open January 13th. We will start on January 13th. If you're interested in that, it's a transformative program with individual and group coaching. Every week, 8 weeks, Zoom sessions. Amazing program. So if you're interested in that, check it out on my website, ColleenVanderZuyden.com. And you can also find some information on my Facebook page, Colleen Van Der Zuyden, Medium and Intuitive Life Coach. And we are going to, as I said, talk about tonight, we are going to be talking about muffling the inner critic. You ever have one of those going on? What's yours like? Think about that for just a second. You know, like, let's just think about that. What kind of inner critic do you have? We are going to talk about some strategies to help you detach from its negativity. We're going to help you rebalance your voice, the inner voice that you have, and shift that so that you can get back into the peace you deserve. And that is what we will be talking about tonight. I will go over all sorts of things. I'm going to describe how it works. I'm going to talk about 12 action steps that you can take to help you minimize that voice. You pick one, pick two, pick three, whatever you want to do, but stay with me. We'll have a good time. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day who was telling me about her latest sleepless night. Her inner critic was just going full force. She was in self-judgment, berating herself because she had missed her daughter's special event. Now, she missed it because she had work. She had to go to work. So even though it was unavoidable, she still felt guilty and ashamed. What kind of mother would do this to miss her daughter's event? Then another friend was upset because a relationship had ended, and she was blaming herself for it. She said she was the one that caused all the problems. She's the one that did everything wrong. And so she was stuck in self-blame and self-loathing. Then yet another friend, I've had a lot of people I've talked to in the past few weeks, another friend of mine was caught in that endless story loop. You know how your inner critic goes? Endless, over and over and over, and it just repeats the same things. And for her, it was telling her everything she had ever done wrong in her whole life. It was just this endless loop, and she could not stop it. This loop for her always ends with her calling herself names and saying how much she hates herself. Do you have a voice like that? Something that kind of gets you and starts to tell you how you're not good enough on all of the different reasons so many of us do. And I was thinking about this after talking to my friends, and I'm going, where does this come from? Where does this inner voice come from? And my thought is, if we can understand where it comes from, how it developed, what the source is of this, that it will be easier for us to let it go. Okay, so I'm going to talk about that for just a little bit, not long, don't worry, because you know I always want to get to my how-tos, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit to give you some examples so you can start to think about your own inner critic and how it works, or shall we say, doesn't work out for you. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. This, the inner critic, comes from our programming, from our conditioning, right? Usually from childhood. We've been programmed or conditioned to believe certain things about how life works, to believe certain things about ourselves. They come from our experiences, situations, circumstances that we've had with family, friends, teachers, whoever. Conditioning also involves certain beliefs we pick up from society or culture about how we should behave, how we should be more perfect, you know, that unattainable sense of perfection that we see on TV and things like that. Some people have grown up in religions where we are told right from the beginning that you are unworthy, right from the beginning. So this can get ingrained within ourselves. And then some of these religions will also say things like, you won't be worthy until you do this. If you've ever grown up in any kind of a more traditional religion that has that kind of belief system, these things are part of your conditioning and part of your programming. This conditioning comes to us, affects us, because we are trying to make sense of the world. We're trying to make sense about how we fit in. And frequently what happens is that we feel like we don't measure up, that we don't measure up to somebody else's expectations or their standards. And with all of this, and it's quite a web, as I was thinking about how this comes about, one thing just led to another in my head and another and another. So we internalize all of this, all of these experiences, how we feel, everything that happens to us, we make some kind of interpretations about them, we give them meaning, and all of this goes inside ourselves, contributing to who we are and how we think we fit in. As I said, we frequently end up feeling unworthy, undeserving, we think we're less than, we might even feel rejected. Then, with all of that, right, what's next? We want to protect ourselves from other people's judgment, and we want to be accepted and fit in and belong, right? And because we have that belief that we don't fit in and belong, that we are not worthy, anytime something happens, a problem pops up or something, we immediately go to, there's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. I did something wrong. And then with this, we turn inward and attack ourselves. So this inner critic shows up in so many different ways, and I'm just going to mention some of the ways, and you may have more ways that you'll recognize in your own inner critic's voice, but we have this sense of comparing sometimes. You know, that person over there, well, they're just so much smarter than I am because they make more money, you know? So then the implication, of course, that we're not smart because we're not making enough money. That person over there knows how to do this, but I don't, so I'm not good enough. So we frequently will compare ourselves to others. And on the receiving end of that, we end up looking like the people are like, oh, we're just definitely not good enough. We're not this, we're not that, because everybody else has a better life than we do, right? Then lots of times we have the shoulds. I should do this, or I shouldn't have done that. Okay, I should do this. And with that comes a sense of beating ourselves up, right? I should do this. I can't believe I can't do that. but maybe I should, and then we go on. We take so much personally that may or may not have anything to do with us. We take a lot personally, and we generalize situations lots of times. This is really a very misguided sense of trying to protect ourselves. So the inner critic is really trying to keep us safe, right? Trying to keep us safe. And when we keep ourselves safe, we won't take risks, and because we don't want to become a target for anybody else, right? So we don't want to take any risks. So as we like to say in the metaphysical community, we keep ourselves safe and small. Okay, we keep ourselves safe and small. And what that means is we're not being our true self. We're not putting ourselves out there. We're not embracing our greatness. And our inner critic is a big contributor to that problem. So as I said, we are going to go into this even more. And I am going to give you strategies to help you with this so that you can start to muffle that voice. You can transform it. You can lessen its effects. You'll be happier is the end result here. So all of this, as we try to become safe, I kind of, you know, this becomes, if I diminish my value, my worth, before you do it, then it'll be okay. I call this the bullying principle. You know how bullies will sometimes bully other people, because if I bully you first, then you're not going to bully me back. So that is also a form of protection, right? This all becomes a habit. It's a habit. You know how it goes when your mind starts going crazy and that inner critic in there. You know, one small thought, and you may not even recognize that thought, and before you know it, you've gone down that rabbit hole where you feel horrible and you feel like you'll never get what you want, you're not good enough, and you're not deserving, you're not going to have it. Your thoughts will go insane. So this is a habit. This has been ingrained in you for so long, your whole life. It's been ingrained in you that it has unfortunately become normal to be mean to ourselves, to judge ourselves, to be self-critical. Our minds run wild, emphasizing how we are not good enough, and then we feel even more insecure. Isn't this horrible? Isn't this amazing how this works? Just one thing after another. Diane is saying, for a long time, my inner critic had a lot to say about my weight. It took a long time to become comfortable in my own skin, no matter my pant size. Right? So many of us have that weight inner critic. You know, I've got to lose the last 5 pounds. Oh, I can't do it. And then what does that turn into? I'm not disciplined enough. I don't know enough. And then if we don't succeed, then we beat ourselves up for that. And the inner critic goes crazy on that end. Right? So what's happening with all of this is we never, because of our programming conditioning, we never really learned to check in with ourselves to see what is true for us. We just didn't learn it. So with that, we've disconnected from our true self. When you're in the power of your true self, you will feel positive. You will feel empowered. You will be heavier. When your inner critic is going full stream ahead, you're obviously not going to be as happy as you might be. So we have disconnected. Anytime your inner critic is going, it's telling you you've disconnected from your true self. So as we go through these strategies, these will help you get back to your true self, okay? And with this disconnect here from our soul, disconnecting from who we truly are, what also happens is we don't trust ourselves. And that's when we think we need to do something else to meet somebody else's expectations, so that we can be good enough, just like everybody else around us, right? So that's what we have to do. So we want to muffle this voice. We want to lessen it. We want to reconnect to our true self, which is the self of love, light, and joy. I know that sounds so cliche, but that's really who we are, love, light, and joy. And we want to reconnect to that and make that part of ourselves stronger. So some foundational thoughts I have on this. First, to start, 3 foundational thoughts that you must consider before I get to all my action steps to help you tonight. The first one, you're going to laugh at this one. Do you really want to muffle the voice of your inner critic? Everybody says yes, right? I don't know anybody who would say no. Everybody says yes. I want to muffle that for sure. But then what happens is we don't make the commitment. Or we make a commitment, and the first episode where our inner critic goes wild on us, we go, oh, this is too hard, and we give up. Then our inner critic says, well, see, you can't even do that. Okay? But even though it sounds hard to do, when you make a commitment and a decision to muffle that voice, and when that voice comes up and you figure out how to muffle it a little bit, we'll go over that, when you figure out how to do that, you'll break that pattern and you won't beat yourself up over the times where it slips. I've been practicing this stuff for years, and I can still get caught in my inner critic. Okay? But I have the advantage that I have all these strategies I'm about to share, so I can get out of it a little bit easier and a little bit faster than I used to. Well, actually a lot faster than I used to. So we can do that. So you're going to get some ideas tonight. So make the decision that you're going to do your best. Make the decision to do your best to believe that those words, those thoughts from your inner critic are not true. They really aren't you. And they aren't you. Because the only truth about you is that you are love, light, and joy. That is the truth. You are not stupid. You are not an idiot. You are not worthless because of your pant size. None of that is true. If you don't feel positive, then whatever you're feeling is not true. Amazing. We are not who the inner critic says we are. So make the decision you're going to do your best to muffle it. That's all you have to do. Just do your best. The second thing is to recognize that having an inner critic is not your fault. It's not a flaw. It's not something you intentionally created. And the inner critic does not make you a bad person. The inner critic wants you to believe that. But again, it's not true. The voice of the inner critic is an illusion. So don't beat yourself up over having one. If you notice that it pops into your head, give yourself some grace and forgiveness. And go, there it is again. And I will talk about some strategies with that too. Then the third foundational thought to be aware of is, and this is very important, to recognize that not only do you have an inner critic, but you also have an inner nurturer. This is the voice we want to be listening to. This is what we're aiming for. We want to rebalance those voices, to move away from the inner critic and into the inner nurturer. This is the one that laughs when we do something wrong. Every morning, I make a cup of chai latte. It's a powder. I put it in water, heat it in the microwave, right? Every morning, I spill some of the powder on the counter. Every morning, without fail. No matter how hard I try to get it all in the cup, I don't. I just laugh about that. There was another time I made the chai, had it in the microwave, forgot it was full when I took it out. You know how that goes sometimes, you think it's going to weigh less. So I pulled it out and it went everywhere. Went on the refrigerator, the counter, the floor, the cupboard, it went everywhere. And my daughter, she looked at me and I just started laughing. And she said to me, "You're the only person I know who would laugh about that." So we want to balance this. The inner critic. If my inner critic had been in full force, it would have been, "Oh, you're so stupid, Colleen. I can't believe you did that. You know that that's it was full. You should have known better than allow that to spill on the floor. Now you're going to have to clean it up." And I could have gone off and off and off on it. But I didn't, because my inner critic was less important than my inner nurturer. It wasn't important to me to beat myself up over that. But you notice how sometimes that's what our inner critic does. It beats itself up over stupid little things, right? So the more aware we become, the easier it will become to change. So this inner nurturer is the voice that says to you, "It's okay, you've got this. Don't worry about it. I know you're doing your best. You just keep going. It's going to be okay. Take care of yourself." It's that positive voice. So these foundational thoughts alone that we've just considered may be enough to help you start to muffle that inner critic. But I have my 12 action steps to give you and some further thoughts on this, which I'm now going to get to. So if you're just joining me, what we are doing is we are talking about the inner critic and muffling the negativity of that voice. I'm Colleen van der Zijden. I'm a medium and a certified intuitive life coach. And I help people basically create happier lives because that's what we say we always want. That's what we do. And tonight we are talking about muffling that inner critic. And I'm going to go over 12 action steps and several ideas to help you muffle this voice. If you forget some of the ideas, feel free to come back to the video. It will be on my page, Colleen VanderZuiden, Medium and Intuitive Life Coach, as well as on Lilydale Assembly Incorporated official page. You will be able to find it there. You can take notes if you need to later. So the first thing we have to do here to start this process, to start to move into these practical steps to help you muffle that voice, is to become aware. In muffling the inner voice, one of our goals is to detach from the emotion. Okay, we want to detach from the emotions, right? That's why we don't like our inner critic, because we feel horribly. So we want to set them aside, okay? So we want to detach from that, and awareness will help. We want to observe how our own personal inner critic works. And I would love to see in the comments how your inner critic beats you up. Okay, I would love to hear it, because we all have, it all comes down to being unworthy, undeserving, not good enough. It all comes to that. But it shows up in so many different ways. So how does it show up for you? So we want to, in this awareness, we want to become aware of that runaway train, where our thoughts could go, where the repetition is, what thoughts keep coming up over and over again. And what we're going to do differently, because our typical reaction is push that voice away, isn't it? We want to push it away. But we don't want to do that. We want to actually pay attention to it. Because when we push it away, it makes it more prominent. It just stays in our head because we're not dealing with it. So we want to pay attention. The more you know about how it works for you, the easier it becomes to transform it, muffle it, let it go. So that's what we want to do. So when we start with this awareness, we want to be curious about it, okay? We don't want to get caught in the negativity, so we don't want to get stuck in the emotions or the negativity. Our typical way of doing this is that the thoughts build up, and then all of a sudden we notice we're there, and then we beat ourselves up for being there. Okay, we just want to notice it. We want to be very curious about it. We don't want to identify with any of the negativity that shows up. We don't want to do that. Being aware doesn't mean we allow ourselves to get trapped in that downward cycle and spiral of negative thinking. Okay? We're aware enough to recognize that we don't have to go there. That's what we want to do. This is like a little research project. Okay? We're practicing being aware, non-judgmental, and objective. That's what we really want to be doing. So here are some of the things to look for that of how your inner critic might show up. We might have some exaggeration. Everything you do fails, you know. You'll never do anything right. It might bring up things that are false or no longer true. You know, that mistake you made 20 years ago, well, that proves to me that you are this. Okay, that may not be the case anymore, right? So that would be false. It comes a lot in absolutes. You never do anything right. You're always wrong. You always say the wrong thing. No one loves you. No one likes you. You'll never get a new job because you're not good enough. You know, so you might move into things like that. You might have the name calling. You know, I'm so stupid. I'm such an idiot. You know, we might overreact to that small situation of spilling our tie. You're so idiotic. I can't believe you even did that. So you might, you know, fall into that comparing. Okay, there's so many different ways an inner critic can show up. And it's very helpful if you have a better understanding and awareness of how your inner critic works, because then you can really negate it, okay? And start paying attention, and then we can start shifting it, right? Denise is saying, why did you do that? You know better than that. Concentrate on what you're doing, right? That's a perfect inner critic. Yes. So step for you, okay? You become aware, you're becoming aware of how your mind works there, what your inner critic is doing. So what you want to do in action step is to, when you notice that without emotion, you're going to question it. Is it true? And it's likely it's not true. So you're going to think of time, experiences, circumstances, situations to prove that it's not true. If you're stupid, you can come up with all sorts of reasons that you're not stupid. I'm sure of it. Okay? What we want to do is break the habit of listening and believing that the inner critic's words are truth. We want to break that habit. It's been a habit. It's not your fault. You've been trained. Okay, so we want to break it in awareness. You're going to question it. Okay, you're just going to question it. I suggest that you play with this idea when you're feeling good. Okay, so if you practice a little bit, play with being aware. You probably already know how your inner critic works. You know your own individual part of that. So if you know it always does this or frequently says this or whatever it is, then think about some of those ideas that negate that, that prove that what that voice says is not true. That way, the next time you get caught up in it and you catch yourself, you know, way down the rabbit hole, you can back up and you go, no, wait a minute. Excuse me. You can wait, go, wait a minute, that's not true. I've already proven it's not true. And that will help you muffle some of that. It'll be easier to break that pattern when you're feeling entangled in that negativity. This will help you let go of the negative voice, the negative messages. So if everything you do fails, think about some times that you haven't failed. I don't know anyone who has failed at every single thing in their life. No, nobody. If you're stupid, think about some of the problems you solved. Think about what goals you've achieved. Think about the schooling you've had. If no one loves you, that's a big one some people have. I was so surprised to hear that. If you think no one loves you, think about the people who show you kindness, the people who care for you. Think about your family members, your friends. Facts can be quite helpful in dispelling negativity. So think about some of this stuff and feel free to post it as we're going because I love to talk about these things. Darlene is saying, I'm very bad at calling myself names. Yeah. I think sometimes, you know, obviously how we've grown up, if we grew up in a household, and I don't know if you did, Darlene, or not, in what I'm about to say, I don't know if you grew up in a household where people called each other names or if your friends did or something like this. I think so much of the time we do pick up what we've seen around us as well, of course. So now another action step you can do after you become aware is to shift the words. We want to shift the words. We want to change them. You want to break that pattern of letting them run wild. So think about this. If you saw your best friend talking to herself or about herself as your inner critic might do with you, what would you say to your best friend? Would you show compassion and kindness and caring and help her recognize that, what she's saying about herself is not true? I bet you would. So all you have to do is direct those thoughts to yourself. Treat yourself like you're your best friend. Would you say those things to your best friend? I don't think so. So you treat those that way. So you're going to shift those words. And you're going to be the kind, caring, innate nurturer that you have inside of you. You're going to direct that voice to the inner critic. Another idea to shift those words is to use the I am statement. Frequently, our inner critic is, I am stupid. I am unworthy. I am undeserving. I am never going to get what I want. I am, as many of you know, is a very powerful phrase. I am. That means we own it. That means we embrace it. It's very powerful. If you want to change your life, use it in positive ways, which I will talk about in a moment. But I am, when we are using it from the inner critic's perspective, can be very damaging to us. So you want to change that. As you notice, I am stupid, I am this, I am that, you can shift it to something simply like the inner critic says or the inner critic seems to believe this. You can do that. You want to say the inner critic, not my inner critic. Even though we have it, it's inside of us. My means we really own it. It's kind of like, ooh, my inner critic. We can love our inner critic, of course. But if we say the, it may help if we shift the words. After playing with some of these things and getting more aware, becoming more aware of how our inner critic works, the next thing we want to do is externalize the inner critic. We want to put it out in front of us. So we kind of envision it out in front of us. And you can do this as a visualization exercise for that matter. You can envision what would your inner critic look like? How would your inner critic feel? You know, what does that work for you? How does that look to you? And it could be something in your head. It could be a feeling, an energetic feeling. So then action step for this, to help us externalize that inner critic, is to name it. Okay, do we have crazy Colleen there? Do we have anxious Annie? Do we have Judge Judy? Do we have Depressive Debbie? With apologies to anybody who are named those names. Naming it helps externalize it, and then we can look at it more objectively without that emotion that we get caught up in. Part of our problem with the inner critic is we do get emotionally reactive with these things, and that makes us upset, and then we get stuck believing those words. So if we can be more objective and externalize it, not wrapped up in it, it's easier to see that those thoughts are not who we truly are. Okay, we can put it over here. When we notice it, what we can then do, another action step, is to acknowledge it. With a simple, there it is again, there's anxious Annie. She's trying to keep me safe from something. She's trying to protect me, you know, and set it aside. And no, it's not true. We can just acknowledge and go, yep, there it is, set it aside. When you do that, what you want to do, another action step, is to bring yourself back to your body. Pay attention to your breath. The reason I use the body is because it's physical. So you'll be back in your body. You'll be back in the present, and you'll be out of your head and that cycle of negative thinking. So you can say, oh, there it is again. There is anxious Annie. Breathe. Get back in your body. You've broken the cycle already. You've disengaged from that negative emotional cycle. It's so simple. I have something I started doing a few weeks ago, maybe months now. I lose track of time so easily, is when I have my inner critic going full force, I say, wow, I've got the NGs today. NGs, N-G-E, stands for not good enough. And so I just named it the NGs. I've got the NGs today. And when that happens, I laugh. And I go, okay, that's really funny. I've got the NGs, which I immediately have diminished it. I've put it as, oh, it's something I've got. No big deal. It's leaving now. And I recognize that it is not who I am. So I just call it the NGs. You might try that one because it's fun. And also, you kind of go, oh, there it is. And you just let it go. Now, another thing, you've got the awareness, you've got externalizing. Another strategy to detach from the inner critic is to thank it for trying to protect you. I know when I'm feeling anxious for something, whether I really know the cause or not, it's usually because I'm overwhelmed with something. So it's kind of like my anxiety might say to me something like, I should say the anxiety, not my anxiety. Okay, the anxiety is trying to say, oh, you've got to be like hyper aware so you're prepared. But I can go, okay, thanks, anxious Annie. I recognize you're trying to help me. You're trying to help me be prepared. But actually, I've got this under control. I know what I'm going to do next. I will just do one step at a time. It'll be fine. Thanks so much for helping me. See you later. And you can do that. It affirms to yourself that you've got this. Your inner nurturer rebalances and is more powerful than your inner critic. You're taking your power back. So many times, the inner critic is just trying to protect us in many different reasons, for many different reasons. So you can figure out which ones they are as you know yours. So now, the next thing we want to do, okay? Oh, yeah, I should look at the comments. Can the inner critic be a cause of feeling depression? Ray. I would, and I have no scientific anything based on what I'm about to say. My feeling would be that the inner critic is more of a symptom of depression. I do think the inner can cause forms of depression. Now we've got to talk about the differences between clinical depression, where it's a medical, heavy-duty medical issue where, you know, we may want medication or counseling or something like that, and then the occasional in-and-out depression that some of us have. And I don't mean to minimize that, but just in quotes, okay, sadness. Okay, so the inner critic can certainly contribute to our depression, to our sadness, to our feeling badly, etc. So my thought right at this moment would be if we can rebalance this voice and work with some of these thoughts, these strategies, we might be able to help pull ourselves out of those feelings of sadness and that kind of situation there. I do believe that to be true, actually. One step at a time, because remember, as humans, we want to get everything done right now. You know, I watched this radio show. We talked about all these strategies, and tomorrow my inner critic is going to be gone. No, pick one, pick two, pick three things to work on, one thing at a time, some thoughts to mull over in your head so that you're prepared, that you can do these things. Pick one thing and play with that. Then go to another thing as you're doing it. Okay, give yourself some grace. Thank you, Diane. Kale is saying, my inner critic actually sabotages any of my progress and minor successes, like the last 5 pounds. The inner critic loves to minimize our successes. Well, minimize, demolish, destroy our successes. That's what the inner critic loves to do, right? Okay. For what I'm about to talk about now, we are going to talk about your good qualities because we want to strengthen those for the inner nurturer. But what will happen with this, and just in case I don't mention it, what will happen is that we start to look at the good parts about ourselves, like those congratulations, the discipline that it took to lose those last 5 pounds. I know it's tough that you did it, the persistence, you know, that you kept going, that you were showing self-care for yourself, that you were honoring yourself, you were doing what was true for you and what you needed. Okay, so many wonderful things, right, that you've done. Your inner critic's like, well, that's not enough, took you too long, right? So your inner critic, anytime you acknowledge something positive about yourself, your inner critic is going to try to tell you it's wrong. Your inner critic wants to keep everything the same, wants you to believe you're less than good enough. Okay, so if you know that that's what it does, don't attach to it. We know that's what it does. That's how it operates. It's had however many years, your whole life, to become that habit. It's a habit, a pattern. So we know that's what it does. So we want to go, do I really want to listen to something like that? That's not really true. So more strategies and stuff to help you, but that foundational belief is really going to help. And I know sometimes we do get caught in it, especially if we're tired, you know, later in the day, right? Our inner critic, sometimes that can really go, or in the middle of the night. That's the worst. So the middle of the night, we know that's going to happen. But if you can remember, you know what? It's just the inner critic going crazy there for a moment. I'm going to set it aside. I got my energies going again. Set it aside. And then intentionally shift. And we're going to talk about some of that now. So we want to bring out that inner nurturer. So we want to counteract that voice, the inner critic voice, by reconnecting to who you truly are. I'm going to check Diane's statement. I wonder if the inner critic and depression are a circle cycle, a vicious cycle, if not stopped in its tracks with these strategies. I agree. You know, I mean, like I said at the very beginning, I don't know anybody who doesn't have an inner critic, okay? And I'm always surprised sometimes. Isn't it something when, you know, you meet somebody or you admire somebody from a distance and you think, oh, my gosh, they've got their life so under control. Everything is wonderful. I really admire them. You know, I love listening to them or learning from them or whatever it is. And then they go, yeah, man, I have the worst inner critic. And you're thinking, really? You know, really? But everybody does have it. So if everybody has it, then, we don't have to listen to it, you know, right? But if we can stop it, that will really help. So we have been trained to not see the good in ourselves, haven't we? We really have. That's part of our programming conditioning. When I was in sixth grade, my Sunday school teacher said to the class that we should not be proud of ourselves. And I've told this story before, so forgive me for telling it again, for those of you who have heard it. But she told us not to be proud of ourselves. And I know she said that to mean don't be a braggart. Don't tell everybody you're better than they are. Don't be superior. Don't act superior. All of that. But what I heard was don't be proud of yourself. Don't acknowledge your good traits. Don't acknowledge the good things you do. Okay. So back then, I was in sixth grade. So how old was I? I don't know, 10, 11? I don't know. So at 10 or 11, I heard don't be proud of yourself. Don't be a good person. Don't acknowledge the good things you do. I'm much older now, and it's taking me a very long time to counteract that. So we have been trained to not acknowledge the good things about ourselves. We want to be humble. We think if we acknowledge the good things, that means we're egotistical. That's not the case. We want to acknowledge the facts about ourselves. If you're an egotistical jerk, that's a different matter. You know the difference. You know you're not an egotistical jerk, but that doesn't mean you have to be so humble that you hide yourself and that you minimize your natural greatness. Remember that. That's very important. So what we're going to do, this is one of my magical mind games from my book, which will be out in 3 weeks. Cross my fingers. I really think. Think about somebody you admire. Anybody you admire. It can be somebody in your life, friend, family, or it can be somebody you admire, you know, Mother Teresa, you know, somebody you don't even know. Okay, and I want you to think about that person you admire and think about three things about that you admire, the three things about them. Let's pick Mother Teresa for an example. When we think of Mother Teresa, what do we think of? We think that she's selfless. We think that she's very spiritual, and obviously she's a very giving person. So selfless, spiritual, and giving. If Mother Teresa is somebody you admire, and those are the qualities you think of when you think of her, the reason why you admire her are because you also have those qualities. They are a part of you. You admire her because she's showing you the values that you already have within you, these positive qualities and attributes. Lots of times when I do this example with my coaching group, people will argue with me. Well, no, I don't have that. I'm not like that. And there's two things happening there. One is they're fighting against that idea that they have positive qualities. You know, that's hard for them to accept that. It's hard for them to believe they have these wonderful qualities. The other part is they truly believe they don't have it. But I disagree, strongly disagree, that if you admire someone for certain qualities, it's because you have them. They are inside of you. They are something that you find important, that you value. Okay? Remember, your inner critic is trying to keep you stuck, wants to keep you stuck believing you're not good enough. When you start looking for your positive qualities, and this is what I do in my coaching program, that when that starts in January, so one of the first things we do is we start hammering, yes, you are this. And the reason I like doing it in a group is because I can counteract that negative voice that will come at you, because it will say to you, no, you're not. You're not caring. Remember the other day when you said that? That wasn't very caring. You may have said one thing, and I don't know, I'm just going to pick some random thing, in the last 30 days that wasn't very caring to somebody, because maybe you were tired or you weren't thinking, or they just took it the wrong way, right? And then you have taken that, and the other 35 things you did that were very caring have been dismissed and let go of because of that one time where it looks like you weren't caring. You want to own those positive qualities. You want to believe they are you. You want to open your mind to your greatness. That's what you want to do. This exercise will really help you. Okay, when you think about people you admire and the qualities, I tell everybody to write them down because, you know, on those days when you're feeling crappy, it's nice to have a little list that says, oh, but I'm really this, you know. So it does help. So write them down. Another action step you can take is to look at yourself the way other people see you. When you think of your best friend or a loving family member, obviously don't think about somebody who doesn't like you. How do these people see you? Who do they think you are? Do they call you names? If they do, they don't love you. Okay. Or do they tell you you're stupid? If they do, protect your energy. Side note, protect your energy. Do what you have to. Okay. Why do people like you? What do they see in you that you can't? This can help you start to see some of the positive qualities within you. Now, many of us suffer from imposter syndrome. That's where we believe we're not good enough. We're not this. Okay, we believe we're putting on an act for other people. Oh, they think that I'm like this, but I'm really not. As we whisper to ourselves, I'm really not like that. They think I am, but I'm not. If you believe somebody thinks you're a certain way and it's positive quality, of course, open your mind to it and accept it. If you're going to make a list about your positive qualities, which I highly recommend, add it to your list. Especially if your inner critic says, no, you're not. Add it to the list, okay? Remember, that inner critic, been there a long time, doing everything it can to get in your way, okay? Now, along with that, and then I'll look at the comments again. If you're struggling to think about yourself positively like this, or you're struggling to see yourself like another person would see you, ask some people what they think of you. I talked about this in a free class I taught sometime. I can't remember when. Ask people what they think your top three qualities are. Ask them. Ask people who like you, remember, okay? You don't want to ask people who don't like you, so ask people who like you, okay? It's so transformative to do that. I really recommend doing this. And just say you're taking a class or you're working on self-growth or you heard this idea and, you know, you're curious. What do other people think about you? You might be surprised because I know when I did this many, many years ago, I had to ask 20 people. It was for a class. I had to ask 20 people, which was a lot, but everything that came back made such a beautiful list, and it really opened my eyes to how I positively affected other people. And it will open your eyes as well, because if you have those qualities, and you do, you're positively impacting other people's lives, not only your own, but other people's lives too. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That's a beautiful thing. And you have that, and you can do that, and you do that. I know it sounds so strange, isn't it, to talk ourselves up and to go, hey, you know, you're doing a great job. Colleen, you're doing great. Do your best you can. You know the difference between being egotistical jerk and not. So it's okay to love yourself, to accept yourself, and to encourage and reassure yourself. I'm going to check the comments. Diane says, that's powerful. I was thinking my friend Jerry's positive qualities. And yes, I share those qualities with her. Isn't that amazing? I am. As you know, I get excited about so many things. And I love to help people strengthen their power so they can have a happier life. And this will really help muscling this voice. Isn't it great how my radio shows have turned into mini workshops for you? Free workshops. Woohoo, win-win, right? Okay, now, another strategy. I still have more to give you. I know, it's like a workshop tonight because I didn't see you for 3 weeks, so I have to give you a lot tonight. So we want to create a power statement, okay? I do this in my book. You pick two positive qualities about yourself that you really want to have, that you really want to embrace, and especially ones that counteract the voice of the inner critic, okay? That frequent message that the inner critic has. So you might say, I am creative and kind. I am loving and caring. I am smart and open-minded. I am generous and what else? Trusting. I don't know. Whatever it is you need. You can use this as a daily intention. Wake up in the morning, use it as a daily intention to direct your day. It's a beautiful thing to do. The other thing you can do is when your inner critic is starting its cycle there, you can stop it and say, no, thank you. Thank you, Judge Judy, for coming to visit me right now, but I'm not bad anymore. And thanks for being here, but I'm actually supportive and encouraging for other people. I support and encourage myself and use words that counteract the inner critic. Okay. Another thing to do with that is we want to use the heart meridian, okay? I'm hoping I got my hand where you can see it. Right here, okay, on your wrist, okay, right on the pinky side, right here, you press that area, and you can say, I am loving and caring. This opens your heart up even more. It increases positivity, joy, and happiness. Okay, anytime your inner critic is talking to you, telling you you're doing something wrong, you don't even have to say anything. You can just press right here on this spot, and you have opened your heart meridian for positivity, joy, and happiness, right? Magical, I'm telling you. Okay, now here's something else fun. Here's another action step for you. Make a point of acknowledging the good you see in other people. You don't have to necessarily walk up to them and say, hey, you know, you're doing a great job. If there's somebody you know, or even in the store, the other day I saw this woman in the store, and it's not that I was acknowledging her good, but I really liked her hair. I thought it was beautiful. So I stopped and I told her that I really liked her hair. I thought it looked beautiful on her. You should have seen the look she gave me. She was so surprised that, number one, somebody she didn't know was talking to her in the store. But she was also kind of taken aback that I was giving her a compliment. But she ended up leaving my interaction with her with a beautiful smile on her face. Okay, so you acknowledge another person. So acknowledge the good you see in another person. So if you notice a cashier who is being so patient and kind with maybe somebody who's not so patient with her or him, you can say, wow, you were so patient with them. You can acknowledge that. What this does, not only helping the other person feel better, it's shifting where you're looking. You're looking for the positive. It's shifting your perspective. When you first start doing something like this, it's easier to see it in other people. If you make a point of acknowledging it with the other people, like telling them, that's going to make it even more fun for you. You know, it's great to see the good, you know. You've got to be aware that you don't notice your inner critic immediately jumping in and going, oh, but you can't do that. You know, you're not that, okay? If that happens, remember, nope, you've got strategies now. You can step right back out and say, nope, no thank you, and you can get right out of that. So start to look for the good in other people. What qualities? What have they done that you think is a good thing to do? What do you want to tell them they're doing well? What do you want to tell them about themselves so that they can see themselves in a positive, loving light as well? Okay, this is beautiful because this, remember, as you see, just like with the people you admire exercise we did a little bit ago, it's the same thing. If you see the good in somebody else, you have that. That's something that's important to you, and embrace it, acknowledge it, hold on to it, open your heart up to this and take it. Now, another thing you can do, and this one is really, it kind of goes with what we just talked about, but it's to start looking at yourself, looking at the good things you do throughout your day. So many times we minimize it. I can be guilty of that as well. Somebody will say, well, you're so good at that. I'm like, oh, well, it's just who I am. It's just what I do. It's just, you know, we are not comfortable sometimes with saying, oh, thank you, and letting it in. Okay, so we want to practice letting that in. So we want to start to look for the good things we do throughout the day. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging our positive goodness. There's nothing wrong with that. We want to rebalance the inner voices. And to do that, it's actually essential that we embrace the good parts within ourselves and let the inner nurturer get out. That inner nurturer's been kind of hiding behind the inner critic for so long, we want to let her out, okay? So, for example, well, a few examples for you. If you hold the door for somebody, well, that's polite, right? That's our inner critic right there. Well, that's polite. That's what we should do. But no, you held the door. Yes, it is polite. But a kind and caring person does that. Somebody who's concerned about another person, I must be kind and caring. That makes your stomach go, ooh, because you want to, you know, sometimes when we talk about ourselves in positive light, it's hard to do, right? But if you do that, we want to look at the goodness, and then we want to make it about us. We want to say, yes, well, I must be kind and caring. And if that inner critic pops in, just set it aside. No, I'm kind and caring. Not egotistical. You're not bragging, okay? Say you're doing a project. You tried hard to complete it, okay? You're living from integrity. You're doing your best. Congratulate yourself for doing your best. Even smiling at somebody who seems worried. You know, you notice somebody seems a little bit worried or something. You smile at them and say, hey, have a nice day. Have a good day. Hi, how are you doing today? And that means you're connecting with other people. You're trying to help them. So you must be a helpful person. You must be a person who is concerned about other people and want to help uplift them. So you're an uplifting person as well. Is this fun? The simplest interaction. Those are the ones that show you who you really are. Those are also the ones we minimize. Don't diminish them. Don't minimize them. What about when you keep going, even when you feel like quitting? Or thinking that maybe you're not doing it right, in quotes. Okay, what is that? You must be a persevering kind of person. You're dedicated. You're disciplined. You keep going. You're choosing to believe in yourself. You're choosing to do the best you can. Let's see. You didn't swear at somebody who cut you off while you were driving, okay? You showed restraint, right? And you chose not to step into the negative emotions. Every interaction you have, everything you do, is an opportunity to find out more about who you are at your core, at your soul level. If you can open your mind and your heart up to recognize this, You're strengthening the voice of the inner nurturer, which is going to muffle the inner critic. So tonight we've talked a little bit about muffling the inner critic. We've talked about transforming and letting go of some of those negative messages. And we've talked about different strategies to let you step into your power of who you truly are, your loving, kind, caring, wonderful self that you truly are. Even though the inner critic has been a longstanding habit, you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to let it take you down that rabbit hole into the negative emotions. You don't have to. You get to decide. You can choose not to do it. And I've given you lots of strategies tonight. There'll be 12 action steps, plus many other thoughts that will help you reframe the inner critic. It'll help you let go of it, transform it, move it away from you so it's not so important. We want to release those negative effects because what do we want, really, in the end? We want to be happier. We want to be back into the self-love that so many of us struggle with. The inner critic is like the opposite of self-love, truly, the opposite of self-love. So we want to be back in the self-love, back in the power of who we are. And then, what of course, what happens, we end up being in peace. We get back in the peace and the joy that we're supposed to be in and not stuck in all the other crap that we have in our lives. So let's see. I'm looking at comments. An unexpected, where'd it go? An unexpected comment. Apparently my computer's not liking me right at this very moment. An unexpected compliment is like a beautiful flower and the scent lingers longer on the hand that gives it. Oh, that's so wonderful, right? Isn't it fun to give somebody else an unexpected compliment? It's so much fun to do. And if you're starting to look for the good in others, you'll be able to do it even more frequently. That's why Colleen is on fire tonight, because I haven't been here for 3 weeks. I have built up sharing energy to give you guys today. Darlene is saying, I use a strategy for when I come upon people who seem sad, et cetera. It does make me feel better along with them. Yes. And my theory so far is that the more we understand ourselves, the more we know who we truly are, the more we believe and trust in ourselves, our own light will shine brighter. And we will be there for other people as well. It doesn't mean we have to go out there and become big servants to others, because some people are not, don't really want to serve other people, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just not their path. Even simple interactions can work. So we're helping other people, and we shine our light like we're supposed to be. The inner critic likes to cover it up, like putting it under a, I don't know, what do they say, the bushel, the light under the bushel or something? It likes to do that. So we're trying to counteract that so we can strengthen our own light so we're out there. And as we understand ourselves better and we embrace who we truly are, we actually expand our capacity for love. We actually expand our capacity to have more joy in our lives. We won't get stuck. We won't get stuck in the negativity. We won't get stuck in all that stuff. Okay. Whew. Did I tell you everything I know tonight? I think I did on that. Thank you for so many better suggestions to help reframe the inner critic. You are most welcome, Beth. I love to share, as you know, as part of my path is to teach. That is actually, that's probably 90% of my path is to teach. I like to teach and help other people. So the inner critic to the show. You can watch it again if you need to, because this is such an important topic, especially now, the way society is now. We have a very, very, I'm going to say the word desperate. That's a little dramatic, but a desperate need to have people who are in their power and who are expressing love, self-love, as well as love to others. We really need that now. It is essential that we have that. So the stronger you are in your capacity to love, the better the consciousness shift will go, the better the world will go, the better society will go, not to put the weight of the world on your shoulders, one person at a time. And we start with you. That's where we need to go. Okay, I will stop talking. Thank you so much for listening to me tonight. Next week, we are actually going to talk about magic. We are going to create some magic. I got some simple ways to create some magic in your life, to shift out of problems, challenges, issues, whatever's going on. I got some magic for you. It's very, very simple. And we are going to talk about some of that, unless something else comes into my head and spirit gives me a different direction, which very well could happen. So we are going to talk about that so far. And thank you so much for joining me. I will let you know when my book is out. Believe me, you will know when my book is out. I will be all over Facebook talking about it because I'm so excited about it. The cover is amazing, if I say so myself. Beautiful. And if you're interested in getting some coaching, that group coaching program starts in January, and it is so transformative, just so transformative. It's a small group. Everybody makes great friends. You get personal and group coaching and Zoom sessions. You get access to my Happy and Unstoppable online course, all sorts of things. It's so much fun. And if you're interested, go to my website, ColleenVanderZijden.com or PsychicMediumColleen.com. And you can get more information right there. And my book stuff will be up there soon, too. Oh, boy. Maybe I'll do a whole show one day on my excitement of my book because there are a lot of lessons in there that I could share, believe me. Okay, I will stop talking. So thank you so much for being here with me tonight and joining me. I'm so happy you are here, and I'm so happy you joined me, and I'm so happy I'm back as well. It's always weird when I haven't talked to you in so long. You guys have the greatest week ever. Set that as an intention. I am going to have the greatest week in my whole life. Embrace that and see how it goes for you. You guys have a great week. I'll see you next week. Bye. Weird.